So the question is this: how do you become a healthy, lean and fit vegan, all while having fun and making it a sustainable lifestyle you enjoy living? If you want to know the secrets to losing fat effortlessly, building vegan muscle and positively impacting the people around you every single day, then this is the right podcast for you. I am Fritz Horstmann. This is the Vegan Fitness Podcast.
Welcome back to the Vegan Fitness Secrets Podcast. And if you are wondering, like, where the hell is Fritz? Who's that guy? It's me, Senior Coach Niels. And today, actually, I was looking forward to that episode because I have a great guest, our head coach, Chiara, and we will cover some topics. So how are you doing, Chiara?
I'm good. The oldest of the company here doing a podcast together. I'm really excited about it.
Yes, it was about time, right? Like, I think we haven't done one yet, if I'm not mistaken.
No, not yet. So yeah.
Yes.
It better be a good one, Niels.
Yes. The OGs, the old people, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, great. Really looking forward to that. And so, what we're going to talk about today is, I think actually it might sound pretty simple, although it is still a topic that it's a make or break thing, kind of. A lot of people struggle with it, and a lot of people kind of subconsciously sabotage their own fat loss results or their own physique results because of that thing. And what it is it's snacking, basically. It's either it is a constant snacking. It depends on the type of snacking, how often it is, what type of foods you snack. But that's definitely something we want to cover today. And I think we just get kind of the ball rolling with, what was something you found maybe with yourself or with clients? Maybe you found, like, I don't know, a pattern where you say, like, okay, that is something that makes people snack, or what kind of stuff you can share?
I think the keywords you used here is amazing. And I want to say it again because it's really our make it or break it kind of point. I see that people that manage to, keep this under control or manage their nutrition are really successful in their, journey of getting fitter, eating healthier. And it is really, it seems like not much because it's not the main meal, but actually some snacks can really bring a lot of calories and a lot of, unwanted fat, for example, or really not much protein to keep them going. And I see this a lot, especially in the evening, the mindless snacking. And I think I found more than anything else really is the amount of protein that my clients consume. Mm-hmm. And I can really say even like the last 20 grams, from 100 to 120 grams of protein, the last 20 grams really make a big difference in them wanting to keep eating something, in front of the TV or really feeling satisfied, because the goal is not to stop snacking because we want to just stop snacking. The goal is to actually feel satisfied, right? To not having the urge to snack rather than stopping the snacking. How do you feel about this? How did you overcome the snacking part?
Yeah, great. I love what you said towards the end, especially. It's like, basically, if it would be something that you still have the urge to do, then there's still an issue, right? Like, it's making your meals as satisfying as what you said, that you don't feel the urge to snack. And I think that is already a big key word here, a big key factor. And that has been also the case for me, and also, of course, for a lot of clients. Like, for those who maybe not know us, like, I'm working for the vegan coaching since 4 years, and Chiara is also with us for a long time. So we coach over 100 people by now, hundreds of people. And that snacking is really a big factor here. And I very much agree on that protein is the biggest thing I see, that there is a lack of protein in the main meals, which a lot of people might not know, but protein is the most satiating macro out there, right? Like, fat is kind of next to it because fat has a lot of calories too, 9 calories per gram. So fat is also very satiating, but protein is the biggest one here. And that is also something I had in my own, let's say, journey, if you want to call it that way, that when I was still tracking calories, that was something, of course, that also was helpful, right? But these days I do that intuitively. But I noticed that especially when I have a breakfast, let's just assume, for example, I would do a porridge, right? Have a porridge, maybe have some fruit with it, have some nut butter with it, and let's just say I keep it like that, no added protein powder, no maybe tofu scramble aside to it, then I'm hungry within, honestly, not kidding, 90 minutes or at least 2 hours, I'm hungry again, and you will find me snacking. But if I just add maybe 20, 30 grams of protein to that meal, either from a shake that I maybe have next to it, or I oftentimes like to have actually a porridge and a scramble. And that fills me up easily for 4 hours. Like I don't even have the urge to snack, kind of what you just said, right? And that is something I had very often with clients too, when we kind of analyzed and sit down and had a call in our laser check-ins. And I was like, okay, hey, let's just look at your day. And do you notice that you just had a breakfast with 16 grams of protein, right? Like, which is a real life example. I remember that. And he was like, no. And we just swapped that out, made that simple switch towards a meal that was containing about 40 grams of protein. And that already helped in that case him to fix the snacking between breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, I see exactly the same thing. And I love it because 40 grams is not much for a meal, right? It's not difficult to get, but people think they need to get these huge amounts. But if you really break it down in the three meals plus a snack, it doesn't turn out to be that many calories. And we are big supporters of snacking. So we always put, something if you're going more than 4 hours or 5 hours without a meal, right? So we always have snacks in our meal plan. But also these ones are, a high protein. So we recommend some protein bars or some homemade mix between carbs, fats and protein as well. And I love what you say, because like 40 grams is actually quite achievable in a day, in a meal, sorry. And if you multiply this by four times in a day, you already get 160 grams. That's a huge amount of protein on a vegan diet, right? That's like what most of our male clients are on about, more or less, right? And for female, it's even easier. So, for example, for me, the way I do it, I have 120 grams of protein every day that I want to achieve. I just literally feel better. I don't like thinking about food. I just like to be hungry and notice, oh, it's noon. Right. I don't know if you have the same. It's just, I like my body to tell me what time it is. It's like, oh, okay, I'm hungry. It must be noon. And then I check, it's like 11:55, right? Because I had breakfast at 8 a.m. And for me, it's even easier. I do it this way. I divide my protein. So I make sure that my snack has 20 grams of protein, because I like protein bars. They are delicious. They are like chocolate. I can take them with me. Wherever I go, I don't have to think, oh, I bring another container or other things. And it's super easy for me to bring it everywhere. And now they're getting cheaper and more delicious as well. I remember 10 years ago, there wasn't as much choice in the vegan protein world. And then I'm left with 100 grams. And if I divide it in three meals, that comes down to 33 grams, right, each meal. And it's not that difficult to reach with some protein powder or tofu or other protein sources. Our recipes are super high in protein and they always hit this target. And the benefit for me is really I don't think about food until, it's literally four hours later. And this gives me so much energy to focus on my work, to focus on other things. When I'm out, I'm not always, see a cookie, it's like, oh, I could get a snack, right? I become kind of blind to all these other, food around, because I'm feeling satisfied. I don't have any cravings.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I agree. And also like kind of what you said is that I also want to point out, because you mentioned we do often provide snacks in our meal plans. And so it's not that we are against snacking. I think I want to make that clear here. It's just really mindless snacking, right? Like, okay, you usually know that type of guy or girl, whoever it is, like, okay, somebody brings stuff to the office because it was their birthday, or there's always something, right? Hey, it's how to call it? It's Taco Tuesday. It's this and that. And a lot of people, unfortunately, they don't really realize it. That's why mindless snacking is, I just grabbed it into the cookie jar while I was typing something, or I just had a bit of chocolate here and there. And as you kind of said at the start, sometimes that snacking can accumulate to hundreds of calories, which people really don't realize. Probably by the end of the day, let's just say the average office worker might consume 500 calories in snacks, which could have been a full-blown lunch meal for, depending on your size and height. So we are not against it. It's just like finding, first of all, probably creating the meals in a way that they are satiating. And if you are snacking, that's kind of what I want to say, is finding the right snacks. And that's also what I would have as the next question. What would you share? What is like maybe your two or three favorite snacks?
Yes, these protein bars, I'm really obsessed because I like, you know, anything peanuts and chocolate. I'm a sucker for this or anything like a tofu mousse, right? Or I do like to make, if it's like a later in the evening, I want to relax and I'm watching TV or something like this, then I'll make my protein powder in a hot form. I get like a cookies and cream flavor, and I make like a hot, like white chocolate kind of thing. But then I'm also like, I really like peanuts, and you know, it's dangerous for me to have peanut butter around, right? Because it's so easy to put a spoon in and, you know, just mindlessly eat. So I rather buy the, like the peanuts, you know, the one that I had to shell. Mm-hmm. And they make a mess. So after, you know, I've done with like 5 or 10, that's like crumbles everywhere, and that kind of stops me, right? Because I have, you know, I have the taste of peanuts in my mouth, and that's pretty much, you know, all I needed. And I know it doesn't add too much fat on my diet. I do like a higher fat percentage, but also when I'm out, it's been very, very easy actually to find some seitan sausages, or you know, some other, you know, form of like veganized meat in packets, especially in Germany. It was very easy, so I'll just grab one of those, and I'm just good like eating my little vegan sausage on the street and filling up with that. But usually it's a protein bar, because I really like sweets, and that's my treat for the day, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah, nice way to get in the sweets while also making sure you get the protein. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
How about you?
Yeah, for me, honestly, I don't really, these days, like it changed a little, but these days I don't really snack much at all, because I think I really found my groove probably with meals satiating me as much, probably mastered it, if you want to call it that way, that kind of what you just said, the 4 hour is usually also my sweet spot. And I just don't eat really right away in the morning. I wouldn't call it fasting on purpose. It's not like really having an intermittent fasting schedule. It's really more just when I start my day around 6-ish, then I just don't feel like eating before, let's say 8:39 kind of. And yeah, when I have my breakfast, which often is actually a porridge and a scramble, very often actually, then that fills me up for at least 4 hours. So kind of what you said, it's maybe is around 1-ish, 2-ish, where I will then have another meal. And then around 6, 7-ish, I will have another one. It's very rarely actually that I do snack in between, but not because I think it's bad or it's good or whatever. It's really just, I kind of eliminated the urge through being very satiated with my meals and getting everything that I need with them. The only days where I really have the urge to snack is when I'm more active than usual. Let's just say I very rarely do that, but let's just say maybe I have it twice a day, right? Like I just have been in the gym in the morning, but decide to ride my bike late in the afternoon. That is where I feel that after dinner, there's something more I want. And in those cases, then depends, of course, on time of the year. During these hotter days, I prefer something cold, right? Like maybe a soy-based yogurt with some frozen cherries. That's one thing I like. Or one thing I used to do a lot, actually, and was amazing, comes to mind now, I haven't done it for a while, is having like a vanilla protein powder, having a bit of the coconut cooking kind of milk, right? Like you have the plant-based milk for drinking, you have the cooking kind. You take the cooking kind, but I really recommend the low-fat version, because otherwise it gets super high calorically dense very easy. So I have one which is, I think it's about 42 or 60-ish calories per 100 milliliters. And I take a maximum of 200 milliliters. Otherwise, you won't really have a snack anymore. It's a meal.
Yeah, it's a curry meal.
Yeah, it's a curry meal. But no, I really get about, I think, 100-ish, 120-ish from the coconut. Get about 100 maybe from the protein powder, maybe 120. So we're still looking at 240-ish. And then I take frozen mango and make a bit of almost like a sorbet out of it. Like it's a bit like thicker than a smoothie. Almost like ice cream. You could say it's a protein ice cream, mango, coconut, vanilla, and ice cream. And that is one of my absolute favorites, actually. Like I love that in summer when I'm super active.
Yeah, it was also, I was also obsessed last summer, I remember, when I was in Germany, of, you know, making these big batches of banana ice cream, you know, even as dinner some days, because I just wanted something sweet. I might pick it up again. So yeah, it's very easy. This the mango you're talking about is frozen, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So if you also want to try it on, just freeze some fruit. If you freeze the banana, please peel it before. Don't make the same mistake I did. I don't know if you had the same. The first time I was like, oh my God, this sounds amazing. And I just froze the whole banana without peeling it. And then, yeah, use a liquid and a protein powder to make it sweet. So you don't need any other sweeteners. But now I'm more in the baked goods, you know, territory. Mm-hmm. So I really treat myself with protein bars. Like that's an expense that I'm happy to put in my budget every day because I enjoy it so much. And it's so easy and convenient to bring it with me from out and going to the gym or things like that. But either banana bread, you know, similar ingredients as the ice cream, but just some oats, right? Some protein, some banana, some baking powder. And you can make muffins, you can make, you know, a loaf. But these are dangerous because they're so delicious. Yeah. And you can get a lot. So I usually do in muffin form because it's like, okay, you know, one muffin or two muffins, depending on the calories. And that does it for me as well.
Yeah. Also, the banana bread comes to mind for me. Like some people might not know, we have an exclusive retreat last year, right, for our Evolution clients. And an amazing protein banana bread, which was so tasty. Actually, that is something that I'm just thinking about. And another thing is, you just said like you put the whole bananas and not even peeled them, and I had to hold back not to laugh, because usually I'm not the one who's that logical with the thinking. But you know what, I need to tap my own shoulder here, because when I froze them, I peeled them, and I was even smart enough to already break them down into little chunks. So I really gotta tap my own shoulder here, right?
You must have seen a video or something.
I don't remember it. I need to be honest. I don't know if somebody gets credit for that or it was me, but I can definitely recommend it, as Chiara said, like if you want to do that, because of course it also depends what type of blender you use, right? Like I have I used to have a big Vitamix who was strong enough to even easily shred down two whole frozen bananas, but now I'm having a smaller one, like I think like a Nutribullet, and it's really beneficial if you already break them into little chunks beforehand. So that's what I would recommend for sure.
The snacking, they are like a little bit dangerous, are like, you know, the chips and the crisps. Those are the one that I would, yes, you know, definitely not keep around in the house. Also because of the bags that they make, right? They make these huge bags. Whoever, like, I cannot imagine anybody opening a bag and really say, okay, let me just eat, you know, two serving size, and then, you know, reclosing it with the danger of them getting like really soft, right? Yeah. They're not crispy anymore. Like I really never, have you ever been able in your life to open a big packet?
Who are those people? Honestly, we are calling you out here. Who are those people? Who are the people who, I know maybe 1% of people who can take off like a pint of vegan Ben & Jerry's, take one spoon and say, oh, that was great, and put it back into the freezer. Yeah. Like if you can do this, I don't know. Like it's that strong, and that's that's heavy, but you actually had a perfect transition, because I wanted to ask, giving a recommendation to people what not to snack, and you already perfectly kind of touched on it. Like, is there any more maybe you would say, like, what is this type of stuff you don't want to snack on?
Yeah, so I mean, anything nuts related, they're not bad for you. Let's start from, you know, there are snacks that are really unhealthy, and then there are snacks that are healthy, but the caloric intake is pretty high. And if somebody is on a fat loss journey, then it's not the right snack for them, right? So I would say anything that isn't healthy, that is deep fried and using especially a lot of seed oils, especially nowadays, is something that I would avoid. So cheese, crisps, you know, and the pretzels, you know, the bag pretzels, the sticks or things like that. Vegan snacks now, they're coming more and more, you know, popular as well. And this is something I like about capitalism. I like, you know, when, you know, you wanted a cookie and you were vegan, you're like, oh, I gotta make it myself. Like this is too, it's too much effort. And now there's everything, right? And ice cream. So anything that is prepackaged by a company that doesn't really believe in veganism, is just making the vegan line to, you know, have more customers. So like Magnum and this kind of stuff, I wouldn't have. And then there are a lot of, you know, healthy snacks or healthy foods that we think, okay, this is really healthy, but if you're trying to stay in a caloric deficit, are not helping you, like the nuts, for example. The popcorns are great, for example. This is a great snack if you can be paired with maybe with a protein shake on the side. But the popcorn that you pop at home for yourself, where you control the oil, you know, that you have, you control how many that you can, you know, you can pop for yourself rather than the microwave ones or the one already, you know, pre-popped. And then, yeah, chocolate bars. There is no chocolate that doesn't have 557 calories per 100 grams. All chocolate has the same calories. So I would say, yeah, anything that is mixed between a fat and a sugar, where it makes it really addictive to eat, maybe that's not the the best choice. I would have something maybe like a 95% chocolate, because you're going to stop automatically after one or two squares. It's just bitter and it's not as addictive as the other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would 100% agree here. Is that I also find it's also, of course, the prepackaged stuff, the stuff that is lacking in protein, the stuff that is what you said, fats and carbs together, because that's usually just like made in a lab for us to not being able to stop having it. And that is also one thing I would say is learn. And that is an important thing on your journey, is learn what are your trigger foods, if you want to call them that way, right? Like learn what you can have in moderation and what you can't, because there are things, let's just say an example for me would be somehow I'm able to have an ice cream bar, right? Like a small one portion of ice cream, maybe a 200, 250 calories worth of it. But I'm still a person who is struggling with, if I have a pint, then it's very hard for me to not eat the whole thing. And the same goes for cookies. Like these two things I would consider, and I learned it over time, over the years, my trigger foods. So I don't have them around, which is of course an important thing. Don't have these things around if you know they make you deviate from your caloric deficit, and if you know you can't snack them in moderation. So that is, I think, another big advice I would want to give, which another one we kind of almost skimmed over, but we kind of touched on, was that you said something beautiful. You said, I kind of like my body telling me what time it is because I notice I'm hungry. And that is, I think, is also a very important topic, is that a lot of people, they might not really have, if you want to call it an eating schedule, right? You don't need to be, eating is still a beautiful thing. I'm a dietitian, but still I do not want to take the pleasure out of eating. It's just
Italian, so yes.
I agree with you. Yeah, okay, right? So you know who we are talking to. Like, we do love food. That's very important, I think, an important statement. But it's really where we're going to go here is, it's important that you get your body the right balanced meals and roughly around the same time of the day. It doesn't need to be on the minute, but a plus minus 30 to 60 minute window is usually very good, because your body adjusts to it. And then at some point, might takes you about 2 weeks, you're usually only hungry at those times. Because what you just said, it's the same for me. It's about 9 to 10, it's about 1 to 2, it's about 6 to 7. And that is almost exactly the same. It only slightly changes when it's like winter or summer, right? Like go a bit with the season, might eat slightly later in the evening in summer and might stop eating slightly earlier in the evening in winter. And is it similar for you?
Yes, absolutely. And this is new because I've been living in Vietnam for 7 years, where we have the same time, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have summer, winter. We always have the same time, sunset. So it never changes for me. But since I moved back to Europe, I feel the same now. It's, you know, I find myself like at 8 p.m. and it's like, oh my God, it's time for dinner. It's so late. I want to go to bed soon. But I'm also very, very regular with the meals, and I can't help it. Like I just get hungry when I wake up because I haven't overeaten the night before, right? So I wake up hungry. So I want to have my muffins. This is something that I'm having like consistently for breakfast, some kind of like pastry. As I said, I love foods and I love eating sweet things. So that's what I cook for myself. And then I make sure that my lunch is already prepared. So I pre-cook that, already boxed. And that gets me until 4 p.m. where I take a very quick break for the protein bar or the shake or whatever I want. And then I work 2 more hours and then it's time for the gym. And then at that point, I really get hungry and I want to get my dinner. And Yeah, that usually works like that. And I don't think about food until the next morning. And that's so freeing because it didn't used to be like this for me. I used to have dinner and then, you know, I wasn't having enough protein or I wasn't even eating enough calories. And then I would spend the whole evening thinking about food, like ending up going to bed because I didn't want to snack. And that's not the way to live, like to always feel you have to, you know, overcome this you know, snacking or this hunger, right? That's not a way to live. It's a much better way to be consistent with your protein intake, not feeling the urges, live your life, focus on other stuff, and, you know, get your food when you really need it. So I feel exactly the same as you here in Europe with this time.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing. And I would say, like, maybe as a bit of a closing advice I would give is that when you listen to that episode, and who knows where you're currently on your journey, maybe you found yourself here and said, like, okay, hey, actually, maybe that's me. Maybe I do have a lack of protein in my main meals. Then make little swaps. Start little, right? Like, if you are the type of person who maybe just stops at a gas station in the morning or at Starbucks or wherever, and you get, I don't know, some high carb pastry and some sugary drinks, then make a small switch to it. Add some protein. Find something that gives you protein to it, or have, as Chiara said, a protein bar. Have a protein shake along with it. Or the same goes, of course, for lunch and dinner. Better even, of course, cook yourself. That's the next step. It all depends where you currently are. But make those meals based around protein and vegetables, and let the carbs and the fats be aside. And then you will see over time how filled up you are and how satiated you are. And I think that is hopefully some good advice. I think we cover really great topics here. So it was awesome to talk to you, Chiara.
Likewise. Thank you, Niels.
Yeah, my pleasure. I think that won't be the last version of us. I think we're going to do another episode because it's fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then we're going to put up a picture of us flexing our right arm only.
Yes, yes, for sure. And hope you liked the episode. And please do not forget to like and rate, because we don't put any ads on here. And also, of course, check us out on Instagram, vegancoaching.com. Reach out if you need help and an individualized plan. And until then, talk to you soon.
Yes, yes. What did you think? What an amazing episode. Again, I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please do me a favor and subscribe to my podcast and rate it on iTunes. It's very much appreciated. We'll hear each other in the next episode. Until then, keep up the vegan vibes.